God orchestrates events in the believer's life, and the key word here is believer. God even orders the steps of all who have made covenant by sacrifice, Psalms 50, verse 5. Psalms 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Many attribute miraculous interventions to coincidence, but to the believer, they are real. God's interventions in the believer's life are fully certifiable to that saint, and whether others believe it or not is insignificant. It is so exciting to simply believe. God is in my life and is, by my request, directing my circumstances 24/7. Do keep in mind that all things work together for my good, Romans 8:28. I am special. You say you are too? And I say, amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, Psalms 107:10. You must confess with your own mouth. Hosea 14:2, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Dear visitor, have you yet to be born again as Jesus directs in John 3:3? Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In just a few moments, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt, and if you follow from your heart, everything changes for you today, and I mean everything. You are not here by happenstance. Your very eternal soul is in your very own hands. You are in Joel's Valley of Decision, Joel chapter 3, verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes, in the Valley of Decision, for the day of the Lord is near, in the Valley of Decision. You will decide today, yea or nay. Choose Christ, and today you will most literally be born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God. Today all your sins and shame will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. You will become a new creature. Today all of Satan's bondages in your life will be broken, every single one. Today, you too will become special. Here is the prompt I promised. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said Genesis 6, 1 through 8, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented God, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God said, Jude chapter 1, 6 and 7, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. God said, Daniel 2:43, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Man said, the stories in the Bible are written for children and mentally challenged adults. Fables. These stories are all fables. Wake up, Bible thumpers. Wake up to the modern reality. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1246, that will once again contend for the faith. All of these faith-building features are archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification and to be used as a platform from which to convince the gainsayer. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting. May God's face shine upon you with light and truth. You have arrived at the God Said, Man Said Genesis series. This is part 26. Each of these features begins with the following information from the first feature. According to a 2006 issue of Discover magazine concerning the deceased Carl Sagan, Sagan approaches religion like any phenomenon. He isn't on a quest for life's meaning or a comforting philosophy or even a guide to how we should treat the neighbors. Sagan seeks truth of a demonstrable kind. As a puckish example, he wonders why the book of Genesis didn't include God-inspired truths, end of quote. I recently received an advertisement from a magazine called Free Inquiry that also has a problem with the God of creation and the first book of the Bible called Genesis. Under the heading, "Is God Big Enough for the Universe?" Free Inquiry writes, "The authors of Genesis proclaim that God made the heavens and the earth in less than a week. This feat must have amazed these Bronze Age authors, even though they thought the heavens extended only so far as the sky above them. Of course, they did not know what stars, planets, or galaxies were. We now know that the universe is so much bigger and so much more complex," end of quote. The born-again scratched their heads in bewilderment. Did these folks actually read the book of Genesis? I suppose they did. But God's revelation is only revealed to the humbled hearts of the children of faith. This God Said, Man Said series will be called the Genesis series. It is our intention to travel through the entire book of Genesis and publish one major God-inspired truth after another. We will be pulling from previous God Said, Man Said features and adding the latest information as we go. Genesis 6, 1 through 8. "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Just prior to the great flood that destroyed the entire world, wickedness and violence filled the earth. Some very strange things had taken place. Regarding the passages we have just read, we have already addressed man's lifespan of 120 years and the Hayflick effect, and we have provided amazing history concerning the giants, even entire tribes of giants, on the earth in those days. But what of the rest of the passage? The fallen sons of God taking daughters of men as wives, thereby creating men of renown? Sounds completely bizarre indeed. The following information will be shocking to those unfamiliar with this matter. 2 points before we begin. Number one, for the past 10 years, the scientific community has been uncovering ancient, non-human variants in human DNA that have them baffled. Scientists have concluded that these variants must be the product of ancient humans breeding with a non-human species they have dubbed the ghost species. God said, man said, suggest, these alien tags in human DNA are the remnants of the fallen sons of God in Genesis chapter 6, but you be the judge. The focus of this feature is to demonstrate that what once drew the glib mockery of the skeptics is now loudly demanding an explanation, and the unbelievers are sputtering and lost for words. Number two, there are pre- and post-flood giants. The pre-flood giants would have been destroyed by the global flood just as it destroyed all the earth's creatures that had the breath of life in their nostrils, with the exception of those upon Noah's Ark. The question then follows, where did the post-flood giants come from? The Bible describes entire tribes of giants living in various places after the flood. To my knowledge, the scriptures are silent on the root of the giants that emerged after the flood. Two assumptions are, either the latent genetic code was carried by the wives of Noah and his sons, or additional fallen sons of God took wives of the sons of men. I don't know the answer, but I do know that there were giants after the flood, as the scriptures clearly record. From the God Said, Man Said feature, the ghost species in Genesis 6, the story continues. There are two bizarre lines of scientific research that have taken center stage and are even signposts pointing to the end of the world and the doom of all of carnaldom. Jesus says in Matthew 24:37, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The two signposts I'm referring to are today's chimera research and research into the source of ghost DNA. In this feature, we will pull from past God Said, Man Said research and add insights as we go. We have just read Genesis 6, 1 through 8. Quite a startling passage, wouldn't you say? You've got fallen sons of God who take human wives, giants, and the offspring of the sons of God and daughters of men becoming mighty men of renown. Do such fantastical statements find support in credible, non-biblical sources? Could these bizarre claims be true? There are 3 points foundational to this feature to consider. Number one, in Noah Webster's 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language, son is defined as a male issue of a parent. One of the definitions in the Oxford English Dictionary under the heading Son of God is a divine being, an angel. Adam was created directly by God and thus had the title Son of God. Luke 3:38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Angels are directly made by the hand of God, thus by definition are sons of God. Keep in mind, Adam had no mother. It is important to note that the Bible speaks of many sons of God, as in Genesis 6 already quoted, and other examples include Job 38:4-7. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Job chapter 1, verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Jesus Christ is not only part of the eternal Godhead, and by him God created all things, but he is also separated from all other sons with this definer, the only begotten Son, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Number two, angels don't die. Luke 20:35-36. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Even fallen angels do not die, as in final and total oblivion. God is life, and they are forever separated from him, but exist in fully cognizant eternal punishment. Revelation 20:10 speaks of Satan's final judgment, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Jude 1, verse 6 and 7 certainly appear to be addressing the fallen sons of God referred to in Genesis 6. Jude writes, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Point number three. There are two groups of fallen angels. Jude's group are bound by everlasting chains under darkness awaiting judgment. Satan and his evil angels, on the other hand, are not bound awaiting judgment, but are loose upon the earth, but their judgment approaches. Revelation 12, 7 through 12. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Adam delivered the deed of the earth, and he himself, as well as all his offspring, unto Satan, when he chose to follow his wife Eve in her act of unbelief and disobedience. At this point, the devil gained the title of the God of the world. Note the little G-O-D. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Consider Satan's words in Luke 4, 6. "And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." A quick review. Number one, by definition, angels would qualify for the title sons of God. Number two, fallen angels don't die as defined by carnal minds. Number three, there are two groups of fallen angels. End of quote. The ancient historian Flavius Josephus was born just a few years after Christ, and he writes in his book, The Antiquities of the Jews, about the fallen sons of God. Now, this posterity of Seth continued to esteem God as the Lord of the universe and to have an entire regard to virtue for seven generations. But in process of time, they were perverted and forsook the practices of their forefathers, and did neither pay those honors to God which were appointed to them, nor had they any concern to do justice towards men. But for what degree of zeal they had formerly shown for virtue, they now showed by their actions as a double degree of wickedness, whereby they made God to be their enemy, for many angels of God accompanied with women and begat sons that proved unjust and despisers of all that was good on account of the confidence they had in their own strength, for the tradition is that these men did resemble the acts of those whom the Grecians called giants. End quote. Did fallen sons of God take human wives and sire offspring known as the men of renown from the God said, man said feature, sons of God and the ghost species? Scientists are perplexed at what they are discovering. Several recent headlines follow. July 25, 2017, NetsHerald.com. Ancient humans had sex with non-humans. July 7, 2017, IFLScience.com. This tooth once belonged to a member of a mysterious species of humans that we know almost nothing about. July 21, 2017, Buffalo EDU. In Saliva, Clues to a Ghost Species of Ancient Human. July 24, 2017, FoxNews.com. Scientists find possible clue to ancient ghost species of humans. July 2013, National Geographic. The Case of the Missing Ancestor. Subhead, DNA from a cave in Russia adds a mysterious new member to the human family. God destroys the earth and its corrupt inhabitants in the global flood of Noah, but it certainly appears the DNA of the fallen sons of God in Genesis 6 was passed on, not only in the fact of many giants existing after the flood, but now also in the discovery of a mysterious human ghost ancestry. The ages reported in the excerpts that follow are built upon evolution's foundational theory of uniformitarianism and therefore incorrect, but the relevance of the discoveries are real. Remember Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. All right, here's the story from July 25, 2017, feature of NetsHerald.com, headline, Ancient Humans Had Sex with Non-Humans. New research shows that ancient humans had sex with non-human species, according to a study conducted by Omer Gakuman, an assistant professor of biological sciences at the University of Buffalo. Ancient humans had intercourse with a ghost species of proto-human. Gakuman found widely different genes in DNA of humans living in sub-Saharan Africa. He believes these genes can be traced back to about 150,000 years ago when ancient humans were breeding with this mysterious ghost species. This other species is referred to by scientific community as a ghost species, as there are no known fossils that can be analyzed. God said, man said, note, the fallen angels in Jude 1:6 are presently imprisoned in everlasting chains under darkness. Therefore, they left no fossils. Again, Gakuman states, based on our analysis, the most plausible explanation for this extreme variation is archaic introgression, the introduction of genetic material from a ghost species of ancient hominins, end of quote. July 21, 2017, Charlotte Hu writes for Buffalo Education under the heading, In Saliva, Clues to a Ghost Species of Ancient Humans. In Saliva, scientists have found hints that a ghost species of archaic humans may have contributed genetic material to ancestors of people living in sub-Saharan Africa today. But Wu and Trinkus, a paleontologist and co-author, say they can't put fossils in a group defined only by DNA. I have no idea what a Denisovian is, Trinkus says. Neither does anybody else. It's a DNA sequence, end of quote. Here we go again. February 12, 2020, headline from NPR.org reads, Ghost DNA in West Africans complicates story of human origins. Several excerpts follow. About 50,000 years ago, ancient humans in what is now West Africa apparently procreated with another group of ancient humans that scientists didn't know existed. There aren't any bones or ancient DNA to prove it, but researchers say the evidence is in the genes of modern West Africans. They analyzed genetic material from hundreds of people from Nigeria and Sierra Leone and found signals of what they call ghost DNA from an unknown ancestor. The unusual DNA found in West Africa isn't associated with either Neanderthals or Denisovians. Serum Sekaram, a computational biologist at UCLA and his study co-author, Arne Dervasula, think it comes from a yet-to-be-discovered group. We don't have a clear identity for this archaic group, Sekaram says. That's why we use the term ghost. So what happened to this mysterious group of ancient humans? Scientists aren't totally sure, end of quote. The fallen sons of God in Genesis 6 would have possessed mental abilities and actual life experience far superior to today's science, and the offspring of the God-human mating, the men of renown, have demonstrated special genius. It wouldn't surprise God said, man said, if some of ancient mythology's bizarre claims of God, demigods, and chimera may find the above players at work. From the God said, man said feature, 21 Signs of Doomsday, Update 42, Another Way, Part 4. Is it possible that the chimeras of ancient mythology could have some root in reality? Is it possible that mythological accounts of ancient superior beings functioning on the earth, these beings having the biblical defining of gods with a little g, who are the fallen sons of God in Genesis 6, could have produced the chimeras of the past? These fallen sons of God appear to be a type of angelic being, and Jude 1, 6, and 7 appears to be addressing them. Again, I read, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Fantastical creatures such as giants and men of renown followed in the wake of these fallen sons of God and are spoken of in Genesis chapter 6. Noah Webster's 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language defines renown, fame, celebrity, exalted reputation derived from the extensive praise of great achievements or accomplishments. The chimera is back, and those reading the signs of the times expect Noetic-style judgment soon to follow. The sons of God were intelligent and would have far exceeded today's wisest. Sired children were of old, men of renown. These men of renown would have been demagogues, half man, half God. In ancient mythology, we read of such creatures in tales of Hercules, Achilles, and Gilgamesh, end of quote. From the God Said, Man Said feature, more fallen sons of God, giants and men of renown, ghost species. The June 30, 2021 headline at CNET.com reads, "Dragon Man's Skull Dumbfounds, Digs Up Doubts About Human Evolution." Excerpts follow. One of the key pieces to the puzzle of our long narrative arc as a human species may have been hiding at the bottom of a well in China for almost a century. But now the nearly intact ancient skull of what could be our closest extinct relative, nicknamed Dragon Man, is very much in the public eye as an object of intense scientific fascination and debate. The Harbin fossil is one of the most complete human cranial fossils in the world, says Quang Chi, a professor of paleontology at Hebei Geo University and author of a study on the skull, in the statement that this fossil preserved many details that are critical for understanding the evolution of the Homo genus and the origin of Homo sapiens. The Harbin cranium is the true big box of skulls for the Homo genus. It's a massive dome with room for a modern human brain, but with bigger and somewhat squared off eye sockets, imposing brows, wide mouth, and plus sized teeth. Science, including G, believe the skull, thought to have come from a male who lived to be about 50 years old, is a specimen of a previously unrecognized human species dubbed Homo longi or Dragon Man. The name Dragon Man comes from the location of the skull's discovery, the Black Dragon River region of China. Harbin is better understood as a Denisovian. Paleoanthropologist Karen Babe, who was not involved in research, told the New York Times, "The Denisovians were an archaic human species that's thought to have roamed roughly the same area during the same period. But scientists based their knowledge of these extinct people on some DNA and very few remains, certainly nothing as substantial as the Dragon Man's skull. So it might be, as Babe and others think, that the skull of Dragon Man is really the first glimpse we're getting of a Denisovian profile," end of quote. As you read on, keep in mind that there were giants. All right, this is June 29, 2021, CBS News. Headline, "Massive Dragon Man skull found in China might be a new human evolutionary branch." The subhead of the feature reads, "A gigantic fossilized skull that was hidden in a well in China for 90 years has just been discovered by scientists, and it's making them rethink human evolution." AncientOrians.net. The headline, "Dragon Man's Skull Found in China May Be Another Human Species." That was on June 25, 2021. A few excerpts. The standout characteristic of the skull is its size. It's the largest hominin skull ever discovered. This is the biggest human skull I've seen, and I've seen a few, said Chris Stringer, a paleoanthropologist from London's Natural History Museum and human evolution expert who participated in this research project. In comparison to a modern human cranium, there are similarities and differences. The Harbin skull has thick brow ridges and square eye sockets like an archaic man. The cranium is also longer than that of Homo sapiens, but overall, the shape and contours of its face resemble that of an impossibly large human being. The skull's brain cavity is also similar in size to that of a modern human. It's got such an interesting combination of features, Stringer noted. The morphology shows that this is definitely a distinct lineage in Eastern Asia. It is not Neanderthal, and it is not Homo sapiens. It's something quite distinct. With this information as a baseline, they programmed a supercomputer to construct billions of theoretical evolutionary trees. When the results were in, researchers were quite surprised to find that the computer had placed the Harbin skull on its own separate evolutionary branch. It had identified the skull as belonging to a whole new human species, a type of archaic man that was closely related to Homo sapiens, but not identical to anything else. I was surprised to see this, Stringer said. He had anticipated that the skull would be labeled as an offshoot of the Neanderthals, not as a close relative of modern humans. One of the more fascinating suggestions is that the Harbin skull may actually belong to the mysterious Denisovians. This ancient hominid species was well established in Asia during the Middle Pleistocene. The Denisovians were closely related to the Neanderthals and are known to have interbred with Homo sapiens, modern humans carrying traces of Denisovian DNA. Only a few Denisovian fossils have been found, none of which were intact craniums. But one recovered Denisovian jawbone had very large teeth, just like the Harbin skull. Is this a clue that the Harbin skull may be giving scientists their first ever look at the true face of the Denisovians? As of now, that is not the official conclusion. But as the number of fossilized remains recovered in China increases, new relationships between archaic human species may be observed and theories may change dramatically as a result, end of quote. To recap, there were fallen sons of God who took themselves, the daughters of men. There were giants and men of renown. There were descendants, and thus a ghost species, shouting yes to Genesis chapter 6. After reading the reports above, one would rightfully wonder why not a single report invoked the dreaded word giant or fallen sons of God. Those who presume to be our teachers and are schooling our children are obviously lacking schooling themselves, as in Sunday schooling. The puzzlement gives way to a clear, absolute yes when your childlike faith in God's word is exercised. Be of good cheer, saints. God's word is true and righteous altogether. Yes, a place to build a life that will last forever. The prophet Daniel pens the word of God in chapter 2, verse 43, and makes this telling statement. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Daniel refers to the world's last kingdom, led by the rulers of darkness, whose journey ends at the Battle of Armageddon. The scriptures write concerning this group, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Have you ever questioned to whom Romans 9:22 refers? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? The fallen ones are here in great numbers, possessing the bodies of men and women in vast numbers, even entire nations and soon the entire world. How true is Ephesians 6:12? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Finally, excerpts follow from Thomas Horne's book, Zenith 2016, while reading these excerpts concerning today's chimera, keep in mind that this book was published in 2013. Though the transformation of man to this post-human condition is in its fledgling state, complete integration of the technology necessary to replace existing Homo sapiens as the dominant life form on Earth is approaching Kurzweil's exponential curve. A Reuters article, dated November 9, 2009, titled "Scientists Want Debate on Animals with Human Genes," hinted at just how far scientists have come and how far they intend to go. The news piece started out, "A mouse that can speak? A monkey with Down syndrome? Dogs with human hands or feet?" British scientists want to know if such experiments are acceptable, and it continued with revelations that scientists inside Britain are comfortable now with up to 50-50 animal-human integration. The article implied that not all the research currently under design is kept at the embryonic level, and the fully mature monstrosities like the creature in the 2010 movie Splice may be under study, as some scientists in some places want to push boundaries. National Geographic magazine speculated in 2007 that within 10 years, the first of such human animals would walk the earth, and Werner Vinge agreed recently that we are entering that period in history when questions like, what is the meaning of life, will be nothing more than an engineering question. Not counting synthetic biology, where entirely new forms of life are being brewed, there is no limit to the number of human-animal concoctions currently under development within openly contracted as well as top-secret science facilities. A team at Newcastle and Durham universities in the United Kingdom recently illustrated this when they announced plans to create hybrid rabbit and human embryos as well as other chimera embryos mixing human and cow genes. The same researchers, more alarmingly, have already managed to reanimate tissue from dead human cells in another breakthrough, which was heralded as a way of overcoming ethical dilemmas over using living embryos for medical research. Professor Gregory Stock, in his well-researched and convincing book, Redesigning Humans, Our Inevitable Genetic Future, argues that stopping what we have already started, planned genetic enhancement of humans, is impossible. We simply cannot find the breaks. Jesus said that at his return it would be as it was in the days of Noah. Consider Genesis 6:12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. It's here, just another glaring sign of doomsday. Now stack on today's latest favorite son, AI, artificial intelligence. Look out, world. It won't be long now, saints. Prepare for evacuation. End of quote. Yes, it's true. God's word is true and righteous altogether. And yes, a place to build a life that will last forever. Take cheer, children of God. You have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, the word of God, and you will not be ashamed. Now you have the record.